First of all, thank you, Heather, for the music. The ministry of music is a blessing to the Church of God, and there are opportunities to participate in that ministry, and I'd encourage you to give consideration to either singing or contributing in special music. It is a blessing to God's people to sing and to join together, and that's the first of the announcements. You can consult your bulletin and discover that there are conferences and letters from missionaries and needs for nursing volunteers, for example, for the upcoming months. If you go downstairs, you'll realize that things are a-changing when it comes to how we house our young ones. We are blessed with an abundance of babies. And it is a wonderful thing, and we are making appropriate adjustments. And more hands, helping hands, and caring hands are needed. And I encourage you to seek out Kelly Nelson in order to volunteer to contribute, because it's one of the strengths of the chapel, the number of children we have. You'll also notice that we have in the bulletin a calendar for September. And I'd encourage you, the elders are encouraging each of us, and you'll hear more about this, to give consideration to the opportunity to meet not only together on Sundays with the Lord's people, but on other occasions for prayer and Bible study and fellowship and encouragement. There are things that take place like on Wednesday mornings, the senior men meet for coffee and prayer. On Tuesday evenings in September, there will be a prayer meeting that continues at the Caskey House. That's a little change from their traditional Wednesday evening. On September 15th, we'll begin a Wednesday evening Bible study at the Commons. We also have beginning a Boys Club, which begins in the 13th of September. Girls Club begins at the end of September. These are opportunities for prayer, to be encouraging to the people who are involved, and also opportunities for service. Volunteers are needed to help and contribute to these ministries, and I'd encourage you to give thought to that. There are also opportunities for fellowship, for example, the Senior Feasters Breakfast, both this month and next month, and the 20s and 30s fellowship for young people is also another opportunity for fellowship. So give prayerful consideration to the opportunity of joining in with the believers at the chapel and the variety of things we do together. Now, you'll also notice that we have a new schedule. It's actually not a new schedule. It's the same schedule. We're just not changing. Traditionally, we would go to a three-morning meeting schedule come September. But the elders have decided that we are going to begin to meet for three meetings on Sunday morning, breaking of bread at 9 a.m., an opportunity for fellowship, which if you read your Bibles is just as much a gathering of the church, at 10 a.m. downstairs. It's a great time for folks at Bethany Chapel, not just because of the coffee and donuts, but also because of the opportunity to encourage and to meet with one another and to hear what the Lord is doing. Then we will meet, as we did this morning, at 10:30. Everyone will gather, children and adults, for a time of singing and announcements and special music and reports from missionaries. The children will be dismissed, primary and preschool age children will be dismissed downstairs for Sunday school, and we will remain here to conclude sometime around 11:30. Which brings us to the final announcement, and that is today is the last Sunday of a summer series that's been following the theme of the ingredients of a Christian life. We began a dozen or so weeks ago with men chosen by the elders who were asked to meet together, and they did, to design a series of messages that discussed everything from how to listen to a sermon, to Bible study, worship, faith, service, evangelism, forgiveness, reconciliation, among other things. Today, concluding with the subject of why do we go to church? And Chris Coyle is one of those men asked by the elders to address these subjects, and he will speak in a moment. You know, there are some people that come whenever the church doors are open. Chris Coyle is deacon of buildings, which means that if the church doors are open, he's the one here to open them usually. Chris is going to speak to us today on this subject. You'll notice that next week we begin a new series on the subject of the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll spend some time on that subject throughout the fall months. So I encourage you to be in prayer about the opportunities to serve, the opportunities for fellowship. The Lord is doing tremendous things through the believers at Bethany Chapel, and I encourage you to benefit fully and richly from what the Lord is doing. Now it's time for us to dismiss the children to Sunday school, and it's time for our brother Chris to come and address us from God's Word.
Good morning. Did you pray for me this week? I know some of you did, and I appreciate it. And I could tell that there were more people praying this morning than there were at 2 o'clock last night. So I went to bed and got up early this morning to alter my sermon a little bit. But I want to thank you for that and give you one more opportunity to pray for me before we start. It's too late for more coffee, but it's not too late to pray. So let's do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the group of people that are in this room and are gathered together. We thank you for the reason that they come, which is to build each other up and to glorify your name and your son's name. And we ask your blessing on the words that come out of my mouth and the way it goes into the ears of those who would hear. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't get concerned that I'm putting my Bible under here. My verses are written out. Jim had you take out your church calendar for this month a little bit earlier. If you could keep that out, we'll look at that a little bit, and we'll talk about how we look at it. I'm going to stop hitting that microphone in a minute. Now, if you look at that calendar, you know, there are some other things that we look at, that we take and look at, and we make decisions based off of. You know, a Chinese takeout menu springs to mind. I found out that they're numbered for ease of order, not that's the steps of the meal. That's not how you go about it. That's not a good way. It's come to my attention that some of you go to the motion picture show. We don't look at the calendar the same way that you would look at the movie listings and pick one that seems of interest to you that maybe you hadn't tried before or that you'd been to and enjoyed so you want to go back. That's not how we do it either. Nor is it like a park district brochure, which you flip through and say, well, I'll try that for 10 or 12 weeks, see if I like it, and you know, then maybe I'll try a different one, you know, from water ballet to advanced adult fencing or whatever it is that you do at the park district. I did fencing, but no water ballet. Some of you may look at it, college students may look at it as a syllabus, which is to say you glance over it for things that may get you your passing grade and you rule out some of the other things that don't pertain to you. Some of us in the business world may look at it as a project list and we say, okay, that's my department, not my department. My department, not my department. Those guys better get this done right or it's going to mess us all up. Now, we're going to talk about another way of looking at it. But so keep that handy. Before we get into this other way of looking at it, I have to explain something about myself. Something that might not be obvious from looking at me, but will probably come as a shock to many of you. I'm a runner. Now, if Jack had said that, or Jim had said that, or Tom Chilton had said that, you wouldn't laugh. I'm a certain category of runner. I found out I'm called what they call a Clydesdale athlete. Not because my father's name is Clyde, which it was, but it's because of his genes that make me a Clydesdale runner. And actually, that might be being a little generous. I'm probably technically what they call a penguin, which is to say penguins are at their fastest when they're falling or sliding or swimming, and it has absolutely nothing to do with their forward propulsion of their feet. So I'm a little bit further along than that, I think. So picture a Clydesdale with flippers, and you're about there. Now, why am I telling you this? How many people have I talked to, besides this morning, have I talked to since I was in Minnesota? Jolie, get your hand up. Amy, how many of those people know that I'm a runner? How many heard way too much about running from me in the last week? I'd like to ask my wife to stop waving both hands and jumping up and down. I'm a little bit excited about running, and it's not that I just started. I got a treadmill back some time ago. My friend John Weber, as you know, or may know, was a good candidate to help me carry down the treadmill into my basement when I decided to buy one on a cold winter's day, because he had done the marathon. And I got to tell you, when John did the marathon, I thought, what my family always thought of runners, what's he running from? We did running as it pertained to, you know, other other commonly acceptable activities. You know, I mean, if it was part of sports or part of an occasion, or if they made you do it for PE, but to just go out and run for the sake of running, we knew there was something wrong with those people. And with John, I said, oh, it's obvious. He's turning 30. He's got a kid on the way. He's running. Believe me, he's running. But I knew I could count on John to help carry the treadmill down, because runners are weird like that, and they want to help each other. But I didn't even consider myself a runner for the many months that I occasionally went down and did my 20-minute. I went for the routine that was fastest and shortest. Not because I'm fast, but because I like the short part of it. And I didn't even really consider it running. It was so much as exercising on a treadmill. The machine made my legs go, but that's not where my head was. I had my wireless headphones on. I had the cable TV hooked up. And you can ask Amy, I would watch anything rather than think about the fact that I was running. She would come down and turn on C-SPAN and say, what is your problem? Running and watching golf, that's not how normal people run. I wasn't a runner. But I became a runner last weekend in Minnesota. And how that came about was, I had no treadmill, and I was challenged by my brothers-in-law to run outside. Completely different experience, friends. Nothing that you do on the treadmill gives you the uneven road surfaces that let your calves know within a quarter mile that you are not really a runner. The treadmill will simulate uphill runs, but downhill, that's a surprise. You think downhill's going to be nice, you know, oh, it's all downhill from here. That's not a good thing, all downhill from here. That hurts and lets you know about it for days. So I ran once outside, rested a couple days, tried it again, came home and thought, hey, I'm going to run outside. You know, it's not too hot out. I can do this. And I wasn't running with anybody this time. I wasn't running a familiar path. It was a familiar path on my bike, but it wasn't a familiar path to my legs. If I had any cash on me, I'd have bought a bike off of the first person that went by. And there's something about running where people might see you, that you know, that might pull over and ask you if you need help. Which is why I ran on a treadmill all those months before. Since that time, I didn't run as far as I would have liked to. I didn't run as fast as I would have liked to. The bad news is I'm a faster runner than I am a preacher, so sit back. But the reason I'm telling you about this is because since that time, I've looked at some books on running. There's a running community. And they're as strange as I always thought they were, but they're a little bit appealing to me now that I've been out there and run. And as you look at your schedules, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this running community, and it might come as a surprise to you how they go about doing this. There's a greater Chicagoland running community, the Chicagoland Area Runners Association, that meets in smaller cells. There's one that meets in Glen Ellen. And I haven't joined up with any of them because runners are a little bit strange. Runners like to push you. If you get together with them, they want to push you. They might encourage you, but they might challenge you. They do things like weekly clinics and training programs. They have fun runs. Everybody can come no matter what level you're at. And they have snacks. It's starting to have some appeal, right? But they... In their own words, they say to consider a training program, and they're good for several reasons. They say things like, making such a commitment helps strengthen your resolve to get started, maintain continuity, and achieve goals. They provide an organized structure that can simplify things for you. You get lots of helpful information and a chance to ask questions of knowledgeable people. Not appealing. They allow you to run with other people who are at your same level, which provides moral support and makes it more enjoyable. They help you develop a consistent workout schedule. The people who enjoy the most success train regularly. Ideally, you'll want to run about 4 times a week. Determine how often, how fast, and how long you want to run, and then keep track of your workouts. It's a good way to monitor your progress. When they say monitor your progress, they don't mean, "Hey, did you run this week?" They have their own jargon, and they ask about hill repeats and intervals and BMI, which is your body mass index, which, you know, you might be able to hide fat, but you can't hide your BMI. So they're not going to let you off. And if you just show up for these fun runs, they're going to know whether or not you ran during the week, because it's not going to be your turn to lead ever. You're not going to you're not going to challenge anybody. You might not even be that much of an encouragement, because somebody's going to hang back. That's one of the things that they do, is nobody runs alone. So you might be holding somebody back, somebody that's going to come alongside and run at your pace. They're going to keep you accountable. Now, what they're after with all of this is not misery, although it sounds like it. They are after progression. And what they look for is that that learner, that person taking the Learning to Run clinic, which walks for 5 minutes, jogs for 30, administers CPR, and then walks again, that person is going to move up to a 5K or a 10K. That's the other thing. They go back and forth between metric and English miles like it's nothing. But they're going to do 5K, 10K, half marathons, marathons. And you might be a learner in the half marathon, but you might be tapped to help mentor in the 5K or the 10K or the Learning to Run. They're looking for progression, even though the schedule remains the same. And their schedule might be of interest to you also. Glen Ellen Group meets on Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock. And obviously I don't go with them because I have a little trouble with the group that meets here at 9 or 9:02. But they meet. And that one, everybody's welcome to come and participate. They also meet, and you can check the website, they meet Wednesday evenings for that midweek encouragement. And they, again, you're welcome to come at all levels. They have other groups that meet. They have a ladies' run. They have various runs of different people, different clinics. But everybody has an opportunity to be encouraged and to be challenged and to get together and have a fun run and some snacks. So, as I said, I can see the benefit. I'm not really committed at this point to any of those groups. They're not, you know, there's the Glen Ellen one, there's Wheaton ones. They're all over the place. I could find one. You know, I might see about sneaking up after they start their fun run and seeing if I can maintain a block or so behind them and then cut out before they get to the refreshments part. Probably not. That might be the time that I meet them there. I don't know. But as you can imagine, I didn't come here today to tell you about running. Well, not so much. But we'll move from that. As Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, he said, "To train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present and the life to come." So the question we had asked and sort of answered earlier was, why do we go to church? And as we sang, we come and we obey Christ's command, that one which he left us, which is, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and teaching them to obey the commands I have taught you." And that command which we sang about earlier was, simply put, the first and second commandments in Matthew, which is, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself." So you all are here. So the question of why do we go to church, there's two parts of it, and one is the worship, and I'm sure that's why you're all, that's what brought most of you here, and that's not only another sermon, that's a series. So we won't go into that. We'll concede that worshiping God is something that we do, and as Jim said, we have opportunities to do that. But what, maybe the question that we should rephrase it is not why do we go, but what should it look like when we go to church? And the easiest thing to do is to look in Acts chapter 2 and see what it looked like when there was the first major conversion And the new Acts 2:42 is how the new converts react to their newfound salvation. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So you have teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. There's several passages which I won't read, but you can ask me about, and I do have them. That kind of round this out a little bit. And again, it's the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper, which we do at 9, scripture reading and teaching, praying, singing, mutual encouragement, which can come in the way of friendly banter down over coffee and donuts, testimonies and ministry reports, which we had the good word from Jack earlier. These are things that we do. These are, when we come together, this is what we do. And again, it's not unlike what the running clubs or clinics do. So now look at your calendar, if you will. Look at that schedule and ask yourself if opportunities to do all of those things are all there. Have the elders given you the necessary opportunities to engage in these prescribed activities? And look at those activities and see which of them can occur independent of other involvement. When you look at why we go to church, it has to include the mutual building up of the other people in the meeting. There are several passages that point this out, but going with the idea of running, you'd see in Ephesians 4, verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from which the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself in love." So, with that schedule that you have in front of you, we are looking for the same thing at Bethany Chapel that the runners' clubs and clinics are looking for. We're looking for progression. We want to see the body built up. As Jim mentioned, my being up here is part of a plan. It's not because I'm a marathon runner or a sprinter. If you saw the Olympics, you didn't see anybody that looked like me. Well, no, you didn't. But the idea is that in being challenged and coming up here and spending time in the Word and getting up and running outside like this, that it will encourage and challenge me, and hopefully it will encourage and challenge you. So if you'll allow me to shift gears and mix metaphors, I guess, with that, the thing to look at is what we do here, and that two of the things that we do, that we're called to do, is the idea of discipleship and discipline. We're encouraging others. We're being taught. We're allowing ourselves to be molded. Discipline is the idea of training, of molding, of converting to a different type of behavior, as well as punishment. But the idea of a discipline, is more of a change in behavior and plan, and discipleship of bringing people along to be like Christ. And that is two things that we have to do here. And it can be painful, it can be pleasant, it can happen and you don't even know it's happening, or you can be 100% painfully aware that you are being turned from your behavior. And it can mean confrontation. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, we're told outright, "My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one." But don't stop there. Follow to where it says, "in a spirit of gentleness." An example of that is in Galatians, where Paul is straightening out some people who are getting caught up with some teaching that they needn't be worried about. And he says in Galatians 5:7, "You were running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Now, that's a pretty gentle way of saying it. He's giving them an out. Who prevented you? Who did this? This isn't from the one who calls you. That's a nice, gentle way of doing it. A little bit later, as he talks about the people who did the preventing, he's a little bit harsh with them, and a little bit graphic is what he'd like to see happen to them. But we will stick with where he's gentle with those who he's confronting. The other thing to remember with confrontation, with discipline, is there are times when we are wrong. When we are right, when we are being right, we can be very wrong about it. And that's addressed. And there are several passages that command sensitivity to the status of the weaker. In Romans 14, it begins with an encouragement to welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Further down in that chapter, in verse 15, it says, if your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, and again, what you eat is a description of what was going on there, but we can imagine it as it applies to areas we struggle with. By what you eat, that is Romans chapter 14. And we've skipped down to verse 15. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love, which is the command that we were left with, to walk in love, to be known by our love. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. So do not let your good be spoken of as evil. You can be right and be very wrong while you're being right. And I challenge you to think in your own life or in the life of this assembly, if you know of anything that some feel in their good conscience is their duty to do or to abstain from that has been mocked or ridiculed or put apart or they've been hindered in their following an instruction that they feel applies to them, to the point where it's been an injury for one for whom Christ has died. If so, you are no longer walking in love. And this can't be anymore at Bethany Chapel. For in Ephesians, we hear, in Ephesians 1, verse 13, for you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another, for the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, if Bethany Chapel were a running club, would you be a penguin of 15, 20, 30 years, waddling the same mile and a half with the same amount of windedness, having various leaders have to hold back and try and encourage you, like banging their head against a wall? Would you be the type of person who goes sprinting by somebody who's pulled up lame, shouting out a semi-sarcastic, semi-encouraging word to get moving, get in gear? Or would you stop and help them and encourage them and see them back up to a good walking or running pace? Or would you even be out there on the trail? Would you get the schedule, see where all the fun runs are? Maybe come around, show up in time to chat around the start line, and either hang out back there if the run circles back and the runners get back in time to find most of the refreshments gone and you without a trace of sweat on your feet or a cramp in your calves? Or would you just forget that whole part and just drive straight to the finish line and wait there and maybe cheer, maybe applaud those those who come in, or maybe you'd be caught up in your own agenda to do that. The things that we're called to do are to build each other up. And part of that is allowing ourselves to be built up, to be challenged, to encourage and be encouraging, to set goals, to maintain them. And if you're looking for them, if you're looking for opportunities to act that out, it's in that calendar right before you. And we look forward to seeing you here every Sunday, the occasional potluck. Wednesday nights would be great. Other times during the week as you can do it. But be there, be ready to be challenged, and encourage them while you're at it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're humbled whenever we open your word and we see the goals that you have before us to be perfect as your Son is perfect. Father, we come out and we struggle and we fall short time and again, but we thank you that you comfort us, that you encourage us, and that you give us those who have gone ahead. And you've given us models and examples, Father. We thank you for those who pray, and we thank you for those who lead and those who teach, and we thank you for those who come and who serve. We ask your blessing on this week as we do those things. In Jesus' name, amen.